Are you tired of chasing pretty rainbows? Are you tired of spinning round and round? Wrap up all the shattered dreams in your life, and at the feet of Jesus lay. About the very things that once brought
Well, needless to say, I'm delighted to be here. Right now, I'm delighted to be anywhere, to be honest with you, but here in particular. This is the first time I've seen this pulpit from this direction. It's a beautiful thing, isn't it? But it's the definition of insecurity for a preacher. Is my shirt tucked in okay, sweetheart? And my britches zipped and all that good stuff. You know, that's a nightmare of every preacher. But this is it's a beautiful, beautiful piece of equipment. For those of you who don't know me, I'm my son's father. Yeah. And my son happens to be your pastor. And I'm proud of him and I love him. And I'm so grateful to God that he has a chance to be in the Philippines to preach to preachers. Because I believe that he has a ministry that needs to be shared. Not only that, to be able to see his father-in-law in his last days is a wonderful thing, not only for his dear wife, but for his children. And your kindness extended to him and your generosity is something that overwhelms me a bit. And as his dad, I just want to say thank you for loving my son. You'll know by the end of this service, if you're not familiar with me or if you're a visitor today, I'm not the pastor. He's nice. And he's an awful good kid. He's good looking. And I just kind of come along to make you appreciate his homecoming. Now, what time are we supposed to be done? It's about 12 minutes. Pardon me? 2 o'clock. Mercy. I will have already eaten and taken my nap by then, I'll guarantee you. I would also like to thank many of you who said to me, I've prayed for you. I had an unfortunate incident. I went in for an epidural. The doctor got the needle in too far and got it into my spinal cord. When he did, I felt like I was being electrocuted, and I jerked. When I did, it tore some of that spinal cord, and there were some complications that followed. I was admitted to the hospital as a quadriplegic. I had lost use of both arms, both legs, and from right here up was all that was alive, from here down, and then both arms were gone. And I had 2 days where I lay in intensive care in that condition. Then the right side started coming back, and the left side's been a little stubborn. But the doctor who tended me at Loma Linda University Hospital said, I've been doing this work for 20 years, working with spinal injuries and trauma. And he said, of all those years, I've dealt with thousands of patients. You would have to be one of about 10 who has experienced such a rapid and miraculous recovery. And I think that's just of the Lord. So thank you for the part that you played. And I appreciated so much your pastor, my son, and his dear wife coming over and spending a full day just sitting there looking at me, because there wasn't a whole lot else we could do, but I enjoyed having them there. I have a little problem today. I was going to preach against Thumper for having forsaken the assembly, and I looked back and saw him. My text was, "And Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." And then he showed up and wrecked my sermon. So I thought, well, I'll preach against Stretch, because he isn't here today, and he came in late. So I had to pick another one. Instead, I'd just give it to Mickey and preach against him, and then he came in. So we're having trouble coming up with a good message today. But take your Bible, if you would, and turn to the book of John, chapter 5. I decided a long time ago when I was praying and preparing, because the moment all of these details began to work out, your pastor asked me if I would speak. And obviously, I was delighted at the invitation and for the opportunity. And so I began to search my heart and search the Scriptures. And on an occasion like this, there's always a temptation on the part of the preacher to try to come up with something novel and delightful and something unusual. And the Holy Spirit convicted me about that. I want to take you to one of the most familiar passages in the Bible, John 5. Let's start reading verse 22. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Now look up for a moment and let me tell you the significance in that. The Lord Jesus Christ is God. But He is God who became man. And that qualifies Him extremely well to be judged, because He was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. And so when I try to offer excuses, He looks down and says, I was there. I understand that. And so the Father has delivered into the Son's hands all judgment. There's another reason for that, and it will appear later. And one of the reasons is, verse 23, that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent Him. Look up again. We Christians even have a tendency to have a totem pole of deity. At the top is God the Father, and we consider Him to be that one who is so powerful. Then next is God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then at the bottom is God the Holy Spirit. May I tell you with some authority, based upon the Word of God, that God Jehovah is one God. Amen. Of three personalities, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but all three are equal. All three share the same attributes. All three have the same power. All three are worthy of our worship. When God said, let us make man in our image, He spoke as one. And you cannot divide between the deity. Just as Jesus Christ is God, the Father is God, and the Holy Spirit also is God. Honor the Son as you honor God. Today in our world, we find the vast majority of the religions ignore this passage of Scripture and this great point in theology. Many of the cults, the Mormons, the Jehovah's Witness, and others that I could name, have a tendency to say that Jesus Christ is a God, or that He is something less than God, or that He's the brother of Lucifer, and he became a god just like we one day will become a god. Or you can go to the Middle East and find Islam, who says he is a prophet, but not as important as Muhammad, because Muhammad came after Christ, therefore he has the latest word from God, and we should listen to his word more than we listen to Jesus Christ, because after all, he was just a prophet. Or go to Southeast Asia, where multitudes would follow Buddhism, and hear them explain the same, that Jesus Christ was a good man. He was a prophet. But they worship and follow the teachings of one, Buddha. Or come home to the United States and hear people on the street say, well, I'm just not sure about this Jesus Christ. That he could be born of a virgin. That he could be God, yet at the same time man. That he could go to Calvary and there give his life for our sins. That's a point upon which you cannot err and be saved. Did you hear me?
Amen.
That is a point upon which you cannot err and know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. Let's all say something together. We believe that Jesus Christ is God. Are you ready? We believe that Jesus Christ is God. That's the Word of God.
Amen.
All right, we're coming back to that in a moment. I just wanted you to get that as we read down through the Scriptures. Verse 24 is our text. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Father, help us this morning as we look into this wonderful passage of Scripture. May the Holy Spirit of God teach us the truth. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. John 1:1, and by the way, have you ever compared and seen the similarities of Genesis 1:1 and John 1:1? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And if you wonder who the Word is in John 1:1, keep reading until you get down to verse 14. And it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father. The Word is Jesus Christ. He is God. By the way, keep reading in that passage and you realize that He, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the creator of the universe. I found, and I kind of ran a little experiment even in a fundamental Baptist church, I asked, who created the world? And of course, the answer that I got back was God. True answer. Then I said, which member of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, did you know the majority of well-taught, Bible-believing Christians said, well, God the Father? Nice thought, but wrong answer. It was God the Son. Now, if you go on to the book of Colossians, chapter 1, and verse 16, it says of the Lord Jesus Christ that by Him were all things created, and actually it's by Him that all things consist or hold together. And what I want to do this morning is to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of this congregation. He is God. He created the universe and all that therein is. And by the way, that little baby that was laid in the manger of Bethlehem on that first Christmas morning is the same God who leaned over the banisters of heaven and called into existence this whole earth and all that therein is. He's the one who on that last day of creation created man. Understand, when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, with whom you're dealing. And so then Jesus said, verily, verily, my wife and I will leave on Thursday. And some have asked about my physical condition in traveling. I can travel in an airplane far better than I can in an automobile because I'm able to get up periodically and move around. My physical stamina is somewhat diminished, but I don't need much to sit on a plane. I don't like the food, so I don't think I'll get fat, and it's going to be fine. I will, by the way, apologize in advance. My social skills have always been lacking. I'm a farm kid. So I love you sincerely from my heart. But I'm not good at just adding in that way, you know, all that much. But now that I have kind of a problem on this left side, for me to stand back in the back of that door like Mark does for an hour after church is out, not on your best day. I just can't pull that off. This old leg wouldn't stand up for it, thank God, because I'm not sure I could endure it. But just take my word for it, man, I love you. And I'm delighted to be here. And just take this, would you? I'm hugging your neck. Now that we got that out of the road, we can go on here. My wife and I are going to be leaving and going to the Orient. I remember for a number of years we were missionaries in Korea. And they had a word that sounded so good to me, this verily, verily. I would say, verily, verily. My interpreter would say, chinchalo, chinchalo. And as I was studying Korean, I got to where I understood what the interpreter was saying, but I didn't get the words chinchalo, chinchalo. And I said one day, Brother Park, what in the world does chinchalo mean? Oh, he said, that is like a military command to come to attention. Because he said, anytime in the Bible you see verily, verily, that's God calling us to attention. Something very important is going to follow. And he said, when we say chinchalo, chinchalo in the Korean army, which the South Korean army is a very well-disciplined force, he said every soldier snaps to attention because something important is about to take place. And I thought of that chinchalo, chinchalo. You guys listen, because what's going to be said is very important. I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. He that heareth my word. There are two things that I would like to congratulate this congregation on. Number one is, you're winning people to Jesus Christ. You're seeing your converts follow the Lord in believers' baptism. And then you're teaching the Word of God carefully. Not only that, you have a burden for the lost all around the world. You show me a church without a missionary vision, I'll show you a church that's shallow theologically. Your pastor is now on foreign soil preaching to preachers. Let me tell you something. Anytime you can influence a group of preachers, you've influenced multitudes of people. For that region, the Zion region, that southern region of the Philippines where I've been many times, there are multitudes of pastors and they've got churches everywhere. But those men need encouragement and they need exhortation that they could go back into their towns and villages and cities and declare the Word of God, because the power of the gospel is in the Word of God. And so he said, he that heareth my word. And of course, all of us are familiar with Romans 10 and verse 17, where it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We like to try to make theology something very, very difficult to understand. But when it comes to faith, it's not hard to understand. Faith is believing God's word. So then faith cometh by what?
Hearing.
And hearing by what? The word of God. But sometimes we're not always in context. And so listen, as we look down through this passage in Romans 10. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? By the way, that's not talking about some ordained somebody that stands behind this pulpit on Sunday, but it talks about a proclaimer of the Word of God. And every child of God who declares the Word of God at that point in his life is a preacher of the truth. How shall they preach except they be sent? as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Chinchelo, listen to this. The first important aspect of the gospel is the conveyance of that message, the declaration of the word of God. For therein is the truth contained. I was speaking to you about the book of John, and it's so interesting when you look at that first chapter, and it starts out, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of man. And I quoted to you John 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. But I thought about the Word. And I thought, now Father, why did you name your Son a name like that, Word? I've heard some strange names, but rarely do you find a parent who names their child Word. Well, I said, in the beginning was the Word, and I pondered over that for a long time. Then I began to read on further in the book of John. And as you know, they went out to ask John, what are you doing out here? Who are you? Because John was preaching not far from Jerusalem. He was drawing great crowds. And you know what he said? He thought for a minute and he said, I'm a voice. He said, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Who are you, John? Well, I'm a voice. You know what I think John thought? If Jesus is the Word, I want to be the voice. Because a word is not heard nor understood until a voice articulates. Thus the importance of declaring the truth of the Word of God. You know, there is a false theory of evangelism going around today. And that is, live this godly life and always have a cute smile and dress good. And sooner or later, somebody's going to come up to you and say, what do you got that I don't have? And you might say, a bill. Down at Dillard's to pay for my clothes. I don't know what you'd say. That's not how people get saved. People get saved by somebody declaring the Word. Who is the Word? The Lord Jesus Christ. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Beloved, our message is to make much of the Lord Jesus. But hearing is not enough. You must hear with understanding and believe what you've heard. You see, there are only two kinds of people that are qualified to be an authority on rearing children. That is, those who have none, or those who have raised their kids and they've moved so far away that nobody knows them. Well, that's true, isn't it? I think so. But I have observed parents, and I'm always amused to listen to them. One of the phrases I hear most often is, did you hear me? They're standing this close and say, Johnny, go clean up your room. And Johnny ignores what the parent has said and goes about his nonsensical tasks. And then the parent comes back with this very intellectual follow-up. Did you hear me? And I'm standing there saying, what does that mean? Of course he heard you, Dodo. You talked right in his face. Bad question. Better question is, son, did you understand the command that you were given?
Yeah.
Then understand this. If your room is not clean in 10 minutes, you're going into the cleaning business. Voluntary or involuntary, it makes no difference to me. I was in a home one time, and The parents were having great problems with a little 10-year-old boy. He walked in, left the door open. His mother said, "Close the door." You know what he said? "Eh!" Walked right on. She looked at me and said, "You didn't like that, did you?" I said, "Not especially." I was the preacher. I was the guest. What was I supposed to say? Then she said, "Well, what would you do?" All I could say was, that kid would be going all over the house looking for open doors to shut if he were my son. He would be looking for a door that's ajar so he could just shut it. "Well, how would you do that?" I said, "Making shutting the doors more fun than what he's going through at the time I have him in my clutches." You know how to make your kids enjoy church and sit still for the whole hour? Just make what goes on out there less fun than what goes on in here. You learn to love it. To get back to my point, one of the craziest things I hear parents say is, "Did you hear me?" When you know they heard you. What they're asking is, "Did not you comprehend and believe what I said?" And I think much of the teaching and preaching that goes out falls on deaf ears and gets a dumb response. How little we really believe about what the Word of God actually says. We're going to get into that in just a moment. But there comes the hearing, which is absolutely essential. And then when the hearing comes, there must be the believing. I went through the Word of God and searched the Scriptures. And the Gospel begins with the lost condition of man. Most people who are lost don't enjoy that part. And you say the simple fact is, we've all sinned to come short of the glory of God. And God's glory is found in His absolute holiness. And we've all fallen short of that. And we point out that we're all sinners. And the result of sin is death, that those who do not have the Savior will spend an eternity in hell. And you say, "Do you fully comprehend that?" And I'm sitting here saying, do any of us fully comprehend that? The absolute lost condition of man. But the only way of salvation is by grace through faith. For Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." The gospel is the most exclusive message in the world. But aren't you glad it's also the most inclusive message in all the world? For it says, "Whosoever will may come." And God excludes no one. "He that heareth my word." The great prophet Jeremiah cried out, "O earth, 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 hear the voice of God." And I would cry to this church today, beloved, as you hear the Word of God faithfully proclaimed week after week, don't just get accustomed to the drone of your pastor's voice and look at your watch and say, "Will he never quit?" Though at times that may be legitimate. I've had that same problem sitting back there myself from time to time. But don't fall into that rut where church and hearing the Scriptures and being in Sunday school becomes a dull routine, but always with some excitement in your heart. Come to be taught the Word of God and take the truth into your life. Believe it and trust in it and then live your life by it. That's believing. "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me." Now we're talking about salvation. And if you hear the word of God that tells you you're a sinner, that tells you that Jesus Christ died for your sins, and all you have to do to be saved is by faith receive him as your Savior, there is an immediate transformation. And it goes like this: half present possessor. You know, beloved, one of the greatest miracles that I ponder is the miracle of the new birth. You take a crusty old codger. And of course, I was going to say Stretch, and he came, and then Mickey, and he came, and Thumper, but he's a shot. Just pick one. Brother Dennis, he's an awful nice guy, so I'll use him. Take a crusty old codger like Brother Dennis and say, Dennis, did you realize that you're a sinner? Yes. Did you realize that sinners without Jesus Christ as Savior spend eternity without God in hell? Yes. Would you like to be saved today? Yes. Then, why don't we just bow our heads together and you acknowledge to God that you're a sinner and then accept Jesus Christ as your Savior? Don't go into all of this, you know, ask Jesus in your heart and all, because what you need is to be born again. You need a Savior. You're lost and on your way to hell, man. Your goose is cooked. What you need is somebody to rescue you. So, Lord, I admit that I'm a sinner. I now receive Jesus Christ as Savior. He says, okay. And I say, okay, let's bow our heads. We bow our heads and he says, Lord, I admit that I'm a sinner. But I now accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. At the moment that in his heart, he exercises faith in that great principle, the angel choirs begin to sing. And he has passed from death, the Bible says, unto life. He's been born again. And if he died, guess what? He'd be in heaven. We have a distant cousin who lives at Stoner, that's up the Dolores River. She's an unusual lady. She has a great deal of wealth. That alone makes her unusual, at least for me. I like to claim her as a cousin, even though she's about three distances removed, because I just have a hard time being related or associated to anybody that's got a lot of money. And so I just say, I got a cousin. I don't have to tell you it's a third or fourth cousin. It's my cousin. And she's rich. She lives in a house that isn't a house. It's about as big as... No, it's not quite that big. No, yeah, to go back to about where the choir platform starts, and it's about as wide as this rug. Somebody forgot to put the plumbing in it. And for heat, she's got one little wood stove that sits there. But she is a real paradox, because this woman is very, very bright. I mean, she is keen-minded. She's probably crowding 80, but boy, she has not forgotten a thing. And when you talk to her, she can lecture you on nutrition and politics. She reads all the time. She's an old cattle baron. One of the nicest personalities. My mother got very burdened for her. And so when we were back this time, she said, Larry, would you and Maxine go with me up to Stoner? I want to give this lady a Bible. Because she said she didn't have a good Bible to read. We said, sure. We got in the car and went up there, and Maxine took her new Bible and showed her how to be saved. Mary Jane bowed her head and prayed a sweet prayer. She said, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner, but I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. We talked to her for a little while, and then Maxine asked her that question that you ask with a little fear and trepidation after you've dealt with someone. That is, well, where would you go if you died today? She looked down, then she looked up. She got a mischievous little grin and said, well, I hate to tell you. And Maxine said, no, I mean seriously, based upon what you've just done, where would you go? And this huge grin broke across her face. And she shrieked with delight, to heaven! And that miracle has never failed to astound me. That though you could be lost, now you're saved. It's not a matter of change. It's a matter of birth. It's not something we do. It's something God has done for us. I have accepted that life, the life of Jesus Christ, and that life, beloved, is eternal, thank God. Yeah, present possessive. Everlasting life. I'll not take time to turn there, but if you want to jot a note, you could go to the book of Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26, and it says, "For ye are all children of God by faith in Jesus Christ." How do I become a child of God? How can I be born again? Beloved, it's by hearing the Word of God and believing what you hear. And believing always involves acting upon what you've heard. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. And then one of the greatest parts that is often overlooked says, shall not come into condemnation. And I read that and I got a little choked up. I got up this morning before breakfast and I was sitting there reading. And I read this verse over and over and over. And it said, and shall not come into condemnation. And I thought of all of the reasons that God could use to condemn me. Because sin is a transgression of God's holy law. And I have transgressed often. I thought, I'm a good candidate for condemnation. But it was as though the Holy Spirit of God, in His sweet, soft way, said, He became sin for you, He who knew no sin, that you might be declared the very righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And all of a sudden, that phrase, in Christ Jesus, anchored in my mind. Turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Ephesians chapter 1. This is too good to pass up. And I will not linger long, I promise you. We'll just read a few verses, beginning with verse 5. Having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Look up for a moment. All that means is God predetermined that when you accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, you would become a child of God, and He did it according to the good pleasure of His will, not yours. It's not something that you must achieve. It's something that God bestowed at your point of faith. All right, now the next one. To the praise of the glory of His grace. Have you ever stopped to ponder the word grace? God giving to us what we could never earn, what we could never deserve, giving it to us freely, demanding nothing in return, not because of our just desert, but because that's the very character and nature of God. For God has many attributes, but God is love. The greatest attribute of love is grace. Wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Have you ever felt out of place? I remember my boy Stephen. He's my youngest one. I call him the little guy. He's about 6 inches taller than I am. He used to sit on my lap and I felt like, you know, he was an octopus that just fell out of a tree right on me. Big tall kid, but I love him to death. My dad, many years ago, bought me a membership in a very, very nice country club. And so I took Stephen out there with me, and we walked in to the locker room, and we sat down, and we looked around. And Stephen looked at me, and he said, "Face it, Dad, we're in way over our heads this time." I said, "Yeah, buddy, we're in way over our heads, so let's just enjoy." We walked out into the restaurant part and Johnny Bench, the great baseball player, was there. There were a couple of movie stars who was there. It was out in the Palm Springs area. He was totally mesmerized, but he couldn't get over the fact we didn't have any business there because we just didn't quite fit their profile. I was singing about going to heaven the other day. And I thought, I'm going to walk in there and the streets are going to be paved with gold. I'm a farm boy from Colorado. I'm not even used to paved streets. These are going to be paved with gold. Everybody's going to be perfect. That's kind of a hard thing for me to imagine. the glory of my Savior is going to light the place. It's going to be absolutely wonderful, beyond description. And I thought, I'll probably be in culture shock the first 1,000,000 years. But then I remembered this. I won't, because I will be perfectly accepted. Because I am perfectly acceptable. Because I am in the Beloved, Jesus Christ. And it's in His righteousness that I stand. And it's in His completed work that I'm absolutely forgiven all my sins. And I'll feel right at home. By the way, Christians, I encourage you to listen to the same music you'll listen to in heaven. Have the same friends you're going to have in heaven. Read the same books that are going to be there, the Word of God. Just practice making a little heaven out of this place. And you'll find out that it really, really helps. Now listen to it. Wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood. The Bible says the life is in what? The blood. What did He shed at Calvary on our behalf? The blood. Why? Because He gave His life. Why? Because the wages of sin is death. And that price had to be paid. And He paid that price on our behalf. Thank God for the shedding of His blood. And the Bible said the result is the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. I don't know how to explain this to you. But the result of redemption is forgiveness. And the book of 1 John, chapter 1, beginning with verse 5, says, if we walk as in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Let me ask you a question. When you got saved, how much of your sin did God deal with? All of it. Well, if He dealt with all of it, then why are you struggling with it? Why not rest in the knowledge of sins forgiven? Did you know there's no place in the entire Bible that tells the Christian to ever ask forgiveness of his sins? That might shock some of you, but it's not in there. You know why? Because if you're a Christian, they're all forgiven. That'd be like me proposing to my wife every morning. She already married me. Now, she may have repented a few times, but it's done, man. It's all over with. And that's the same way. And man, when I mess up, I come to God. And the very first thing I do is thank God for the knowledge that I have that my sins are forgiven. Then I say, but Lord, I am at best not a real faithful and good servant. And I've messed up again. And I pray, God, that You'd help me. And I plead that God would give me the character and the convictions to live as I should. Shall not come into condemnation. Why? Because that which could condemn me has been removed as far as the east is from the west, buried in the depths of the deepest sea. And the law which gave it strength was ended in its ministry toward me in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And I wish we had time to go into that, but we don't. The last phrase is, but is passed from death unto life. I need to spend time here and our time is gone. 1 Corinthians 15:22 says, in Adam all die, but in Christ shall all be made alive. You were born into this world of natural parents, a child of Adam, with a fallen nature, in need of redemption. In Adam all die, but thank God in Christ all are made alive. And when you placed your trust in Jesus Christ and became a child of God by faith in Christ, by the Holy Spirit, you were placed into the Lord Jesus Christ and sealed until the day of redemption. And in that position, you are totally accepted by a perfectly holy God and you share in the eternal life of Jesus Christ. That is wonderful, beyond description. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Literally a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, All things have become new. Don't quit there. The next verse says, and all things are of God. Some say, old things passed away. Man, before I was saved, I smoked, I drank, I danced, I chewed, I spit on the sidewalk. But now, bless your heart, I'm the nicest little feller you ever met. I'm different now. Then you follow him around and say, he's a little self-deceived. It's not talking about that. It's talking about what you were in Adam. That would take you to a Christless hell. Has died with Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. And what you got when you were placed into Christ is the absolute perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ Himself. And all those things are of God. And so I would ask you, have you yet passed from death unto life? There's another aspect of death. It's twofold. There's the physical thing with which we're very familiar. But there's also spiritual death. Just as physical death is separation from this body and this earth, spiritual death is separation from God and heaven. As a matter of fact, you read in the book of the Revelation chapter 20, verse 14, that death and hell shall be cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. That which we commonly refer to as hell is nothing more or less than the second death. But to know the Lord is eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the life of Christ and life with Christ. Just as death is separation from God, life is at one with Him. And the thing that alienated man from God was sin. And the sin problem was dealt with at Calvary. And when my sin was removed, thank God, I was reconciled to Him. And that's how I'll spend eternity. Do you have that same assurance? Let's bow our heads for just a moment. Our Father, we're so grateful for our Bibles, for Your precious Word. And I pray, God, that we would hear today with understanding. I'm going to ask that every head remain bowed, every eye closed, just for a moment. I wonder today if there's anyone here who would say, you know, Brother Chapel, I've heard what you've said. And really, down deep in my heart, I'm not positive. I mean 100% sure that if I were to die today, I'd go to heaven. Now listen, don't just let those words bounce off of your head. I'm talking about, are you certain that if you died, you'd go to heaven? If down deep in your soul, there's a little trouble and you're not sure, it's time to get that thing settled. You'd say, Brother Chapel, I'm not sure. I'd like to be sure. I want you to pray for me. Would you lift your hand right quick while we wait just a moment? I'm not sure, but I sure would like to be. Pray for me. Then if we all know, let's make sure that we become a voice to let this word be known to all who are in this world. Brother Bert, come and lead us in a song and dismiss our service, please.
Just as I am with.
As we stand together, if there's a decision you need to make, you step out and come forward. We'll have someone meet you here. I don't know whether it's to be saved, to become a part of the church, to follow the Lord in baptism, but if you have a need, now's the time for you to respond.
Let's pray again, okay? Father, thank you for Pastor Larry. We thank you that he's brought the word to us. Father, if anyone here still has not made a decision for Christ, we ask that you prompt them to do that now, that they might come to one of us before they leave the premises. And that's the main object of our existence, is to see people to come to know Jesus as their Savior. So, Lord, thank you again for today. Thank you for Pastor Chapel coming back tonight and sharing the word with us. As we leave the services today, protect us, be with us, in Jesus' name.